Hey, deep fried fans, have you ever tried a deep fried Twinkie? If you haven't, throw one in a skillet and get to cooking. This is Ellie Mae, and I'm here to announce show number 3, recorded live on June 6th, 2008. Grab a biscuit, slap some gravy on it, and get ready to sop this show up. Support for this episode of Deep Fried Bites is brought to you by Redgate Software. First-class developers insist on knowing how their code performs before releasing their application into the wild. Ants Profiler from Redgate Software can identify performance bottlenecks before you ship. You can download a 14-day free trial of Ants Profiler on the web from www.red-gate.com. All right, Deep Fried fans, the burners are on, the grease is getting hot. Keith and Woody are ready to fry up some bites for you. So kick back, relax, take a load off, and get ready for some gumpology.
How are you, Mr. Woody? We're back on Deep Fried Bites.
I am ready and willing and able.
You are, sir. Well, it's great to talk to you again. It's been a few weeks. Actually, it hasn't been a few weeks. It's been a few days. Well, probably a few hours. Well, actually, I talked to you a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
But you get the idea. I mean, yeah. This is the third episode of Deep Fried Bites. We are truly excited. I'll tell you how excited I am. I'm more excited than a rat in a cheese factory.
Ooh, that sounds good. That sounds
very excited.
Good. We're very excited. Because all of you guys are making us very happy.
Absolutely. We're getting a lot of good feedback from the show. Got some great comments about the show. Got a lot of people writing blog articles out there and talking about the show. You know, I was at Tech Ed this past week, and I was walking around with our brand new Deep Fried Bite shirts on. The brown ones, by the way.
I love them.
Everybody loved the shirts.
I love it. I love it, man. It's the best shirt. It looks good. Looks like it even feels good.
Oh, yeah. They are really good shirts. Got a lot of good feedback on that. You actually found some comments out there that people posted about us, so throw those at us real quick, Woody.
So, yeah. Rob says that the audio quality is superb. It may have been the first episode, but their production quality and format made it sound like they've been podcasting for years. So, thanks, Rob.
That's awesome, Rob. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Jeff Blankenberg, our buddy up in Ohio, he's a DE for Microsoft, says there's 100 podcasts you could be listening to, but I have a good feeling about this one. These two guys will bring great and often hilarious insights to the technology world. They're committed to quality, which is something many podcasts are lacking. Big thanks out to Jeff. We got one from Rhonda, which says, I have to say that I found another favorite podcast. She writes us right behind DNR and Hansel Minute. So you know what? That's a good company to be in, isn't it, Keith?
Heck yeah. Thanks, Rhonda, for that. That's really awesome.
And then the last one that I found that I thought I'd bring out was with our buddy Oren, who was actually in the second episode of the podcast, and he said it was hilarious and now online.
Well, that's some good stuff. We appreciate everybody with their comments. If you have any comments you want to share with us, you can always email us at comments@deepfriedbites.com, and we'll talk about some other ways to get a hold of us, too, here in a minute. How about some Deep Fried Bites news? Let's go to the newsroom.
Let's do it.
You know, we also got some great feedback out there from our friends out on Twitter, and one of them named Lazy Coder, or Scott Kuhn in real life, what he said, hey, you guys should put something on the website that allows people to listen to the show directly. And, of course, it was on our honey-do list already, but Scott sent us a link to something, and it worked out really well. We put it up. We added it to the site. So now, when you go to deepfriedbites.com and you find a show you want to listen to, there's a little player icon next to it. Just click that. It'll download and start playing the show on your computer. So if you don't have your iPod or your Zune or something like that, it's a great way just to go out and listen to previous shows. You know what else happened last week, Woody, was we are now officially in the iTunes and the Zune marketplace, and that's really cool for a couple of reasons. Number one, to get into the Zune marketplace, you have to pass a lot of inspection and go through a lot of hoops and hurdles. We made it. We're now in there, and we also updated our picture on the marketplace and iTunes, so it now fits the actual devices a whole lot better.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And if people want to go to the iTunes and Zune marketplace and stores and add Deep Fried Bites, all you have to do is go into the store or the marketplace and just type Deep Space Fried Space Bites, and you'll locate us, and you'll be able to subscribe right to the show and get that automatically synced up with your devices.
Yep.
Very excited about that.
Very excited. So you know what else is going on? We wanted to have more of a conversation with our listeners. So we actually created two things. We created a new Twitter account, and that Twitter can be found at twitter.com/deepfriedbites, all one word. And we also set up a Facebook group out in Facebook, and you just search for Deep Fried Bites and you'll find us out there. So let's go back to the Twitter account. So if you follow us, I promise that we will follow you. That way, we can actually get direct messages from our listeners. That will be a promise that we keep to you guys, that if you follow us, we will follow you, and we will have that two-way conversation.
You know, something else we got, Woody, is we now have an online store for merchandise. You can buy T-shirts and caps and mugs and all kinds of things out there. We've even got women's shirts out there, so check those out. I purchased a couple of things off the store myself. I purchased a T-shirt that was the brown one, wore it at Tech Ed last week. A lot of people liked it. Got a cap and a golf shirt, too. You know what? Why don't we give a shirt away?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do it like this. If you post on your blog about Deep Fried Bites, or you Twitter about Deep Fried Bites, getting other people to subscribe to our Twitter feed, or you Twitter about joining Facebook, or you blog about us, or whatever, we'll enter you into a contest, and then we'll draw next week, and the person that we draw gets a free Deep Fried Bites shirt.
Oh, that's great.
If you want a cap,
great.
Too. We'll give you a cap or whatever. I
mean, yeah, we'll give you whatever you choose.
A lot of news. So just to recap, you can listen to shows online. We're in the iTunes and Zoom place. We've got a Twitter account. We've got a Facebook group. We've got the merchandise set up on the online store. And, of course, we've got the contest. So go out and spread the word. Help us get the show out. It's time for technology news, Mr. Woody.
Yeah, let's do it.
Woody, you know what happened today?
The new announcements from WWDC about the new iPhone.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. A lot of people tuned in. I went to Subway, grabbed me a sandwich, sat down during lunch, and I happened to find a live audio feed of it. So I was Twittering stuff out to the net as it came out. Here's a quick recap of what happened. Number one, iPhone is getting 3G. So previously it had Edge, and it's got 3G now. That's awesome. The 16 gig version is $299. Big price drop.
Yep.
You can also get the 8 gig for $199, and the new iPhone is going to have baked in GPS. None of that little fake cell towering stuff, but real GPS. That's going to be really cool because I can see there's going to be a lot of apps being built with locational stuff. You know, where are my friends at right now?
Yeah, where was this picture taken?
Yeah, some other features are they're going to have flush headset jacks. There are more third-party apps. They're opening up to more countries. And they came out with this thing called Mobile Me. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did. It's a new service by Apple. You get 20 gigs. It's $99 a year. It replaces .Mac. And so existing .Mac users will be auto-upgraded. And what it is, it's like a syncing where you get like online storage in the cloud. So it's very cool service.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really cool. Especially with 20 gigs, you can put your pictures, your photos. It's all about putting stuff into the cloud. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Windows Live Mesh, just a little bit.
Yeah, it is going to be very cool, all this new cloud stuff.
Software and services, that's what it's about, they say. That's what I've been told.
Yep.
I don't know. Something else they announced at WWDC is push notification services. And what this does is this allows developers to push information to the iPhone even though the applications aren't running. Because as they talked about, they didn't want the applications to really run in the background. It slows it down. It runs battery life out. So they came out with this whole push service system for developers. I think that's really cool. I like their actual solution with that. Something else they came out with was for enterprise customers, you can run enterprise apps on your iPhone. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So what
cool.
That means is you can write apps for your enterprise internally and push those internal applications out to your iPhone users. Now, I don't know how it works. I have no idea. I haven't got the details on it yet. I'm sure more information will be coming out. But basically, at WWDC, it was all about the iPhone. I think the iPhone is going to be released in July, about a month away. So we'll all have to wait, I guess. That's all we can do. Today's show is about Twitter. We're calling it Twitter War Stories. Now, if you haven't heard about Twitter, that's okay. We're going to try to explain it to you. Actually, we're not going to really explain it to you. Woody found us a video. What do you tell us about the video?
Yeah, so it's out on YouTube. It's called Twitter Explained in Plain English. It's a neat little video with little paper cutouts that explain everything. So, you know what? Pause the podcast right now. Go watch it. It's in the show notes. Come back and listen to the rest. It'll explain everything for you.
That's probably the best thing we could do for you guys. So if you don't know about Twitter, that's really the best way to learn about it. It's the best way to explain it instead of us sitting up here beating our heads against the wall for an hour trying to explain it to you. The people that we have on the show this week were recorded live at TechEd last week at the Microsoft TechEd conference in Orlando, Florida. A bunch of us got together. We organized actually on Twitter and set up at the iNetta Lounge on the floor of the expo. And we just started talking about Twitter. So let me run down the guest on the show. On the show, we have Scott C. Reynolds. He's a software developer currently specializing in healthcare and biotechnology. Also joining us is Carrie Payette. She's a senior software developer at American Electric Power. She's been a developer on the Microsoft .NET platform since 2002, and she's also the president of the Central Ohio .NET Developers Group. Joe Kunk joined us. He's currently the president of the Greater Lansing .NET User Group. And he is the co-founder and CTO of Listen IT Solutions, a mortgage software company. Alan Stevens joined us. He is a passionate and experienced software developer living in Knoxville, Tennessee. Alan regularly speaks at industry conferences and user groups. He is the president of the East Tennessee .NET Users Group. Joining us from Microsoft was Glenn Gordon. He's a developer evangelist. He's a frequent speaker at events and supports the developer community in the Southeast. Joining us all the way from Canada, You want some bacon, was Rob Windsor, Senior Consultant and Director of Training with Object Sharp Consulting, which is a Microsoft Gold partner based in Toronto, Canada. Rob is a top-rated instructor and is also a Microsoft MVP. Well, that's a pretty good crew to have to talk about Twitter. We've got some really good power users in this bunch.
Oh, yeah, they're always on Twitter.
Well, Woody, are you ready to go to TechEd?
I am. Let's go.
Let's go live to TechEd, folks. Here we go. Orlando, Florida, TechEd 2008. Everybody, welcome. We're sitting here at the iNetta booth in a community lounge at TechEd today, and we've got a bunch of what we call tweeps sitting here with us. That's T-W-E-E-P-S, tweeps, which are Twitter peeps and or Twitter friends. And we're going to just talk about Twitter. I think it's a really interesting topic. We've all been using Twitter all week at TechEd. So who's got a good story to start off with? Alan?
Well, Twitter is only interesting if you're on it. If you're not on Twitter, it seems totally absurd. This week, I actually organized a tweet-up, a gathering of people that use Twitter, and I put a sign up in the dining area for people to gather, and I watched some of the many thousands of developers here this week wander by, read the sign, and laugh at it. And every time, I thought, they don't know what they're missing. And, you know, ended up, we had about 15 people gather around the table, and we talked for 2.5 hours. And many of those people I didn't know before I ever got on Twitter.
You know, it was also funny. Jim Minitel, who works at Rocks Books, was Twittering earlier and said that it only seems the speakers, the MVPs, the RDs, and Microsoft people know about Twitter, but the depth of the developers that are here don't really know about Twitter very
well. Well, I have a theory on that, though, because I think that what Twitter has done is, I call it my tribe. It's allowed me to find people of a similar demographic to me, people who are very technical and proficient, but also very good communicators and social people.
So this is Rob. You know, I think one of the reasons why, you know, you said it's been adopted by RDs, MVPs, Microsoft people, is because there's already a community there, and that, you know, this is just a communication mechanism that makes it way easier for people to find out what's going on. You know, Facebook status, it was kind of it for a while, and I think now Twitter is a much more effective and easy way to get that information across, especially in a conference like this, because you got such a huge, huge area. I want to meet up with Darcy Lucia. I don't know where he is. Oh, well, he just tweeted, I'm in this, you know, session, or I'm going to be over here, or we're going out to whatever for dinner tonight. And that's just a great way to keep up with what's going on with your tweets.
This is Glenn, and I guess amongst the crowd here, I'm the one person who's actually paid to connect with the community. So I see Twitter as sort of an extension of what I do with a lot of folks, building rapport at developer events and sending emails. But to me, it's much more efficient than a Facebook because people can't reach across Twitter and try to turn me into a zombie or something like that. It basically is nuggets of information that I'm sharing about where I am, what I'm interested in, responding to somebody else. And it's just a great way for me to build connections with everybody.
Yeah, because they can't send you an application to play blackjack or test your typing skills or
right.
some crazy Facebook thing.
Yeah.
This is Alan. Actually, I think the simplicity of Twitter is what makes it successful. It's only 140 characters per message, and there's no way to extend the application. It's simply a way for people to connect, and it allows communities to self-organize. That there's no central person or corporation at the center of my community. It's just a bunch of people with common interests.
This is Scott, and Scott thinks that Twitter is an excellent way to organize groups, especially at a meetup like this. We also use Twitter very heavily at the Alt.net conference. When it's not over capacity, and when it's actually functional, it's fantastic for when you find out that several people are, you know, down at whatever restaurant and you want to go get some food and you just look it up and you show up and you're part of the group. It's very open-ended, no schedules, nothing like that. We have seen, though, this week in particular, that when there is lack of either cell phone reception or Twitter capacity, that everyone wanders around lost like a Facebook zombie.
This is Carrie. I agree with you that it really brings groups together. We recently had an activity planned after one of our .NET group meetings, and we had a geek dinner, so we all got out and went to a restaurant and sat down just, you know, tweeting away, and it happened to be another group was meeting the same night. They found out through Twitter where we were, looked up the restaurant, and the other group went ahead and bought us all drinks.
This is Joe. I've only been using Twitter for a couple weeks now, and I got a real good demonstration of the power of Twitter just today. I was at the same INETA booth a couple hours ago, and one of the staff members, their laptop disappeared. They weren't sure what had happened, thought perhaps possibly had been stolen. And of the 5-6 people standing there, everybody said, okay, we got to Twitter that. You know, and we put out the alert and said, you know, what's the backpack look like and whatever. And, you know, that's not, you know, something that I would have seen a couple weeks ago. It was just an amazing response.
This is Rob. That exact sort of same situation happened. A guy I worked with, Barry Gervin, he you know, tweeted that, oh, I forgot my cell phone. Crap, I'm going to be down here all week without my cell phone. I saw that. I'm not leaving until the next morning. I contact his wife. We get his cell phone. Get it down here. It's just, you know, I never would have known that without something like Twitter.
This is Scott again. More than a utilitarian tool, which it has been, I think that was really an unexpected side usage of Twitter that really wasn't the original story. But it's also been great, as Alan talked about a little bit earlier, for connecting community. Like, you know, I never met Keith before this week, and Alan I've known online for a long time now, and just met this week. But then so many other developers, and other people that are in my extended community, it's allowed me to start conversations with them that I otherwise wouldn't have started. And then you come to an event like this, and you already know all these people in some fashion. You already have had these real conversations with them, and you just pick it right up where you left off.
I think that's a great point. We've been talking about Twitter as a very useful tool and talking about its social benefits. But one of the ironies of Twitter is that it's used almost mindlessly. We tweet inside jokes, and if you haven't been on Twitter and heard the background, then you won't know what the joke was. And I've thought about this for a while, and I thought, why do we act like adolescents when we get together? And I realized it's a group of people I can let my hair down around, because when I meet someone I've known on Twitter, I have a lot of hair to let down, that's true. So when I meet somebody that I've only known on Twitter, for months we've been building up a rapport and a knowledge of each other's lives and sense of humor. So when we get together, we're totally relaxed, and then we become very jovial and silly.
We know each other. Literally,
exactly.
We do know each other. We know what happens in between everybody's life. And this today, Fallen Rogue, they thought they were going to have a baby.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They didn't. We all know that. We know the little things in people's lives. We also almost got me divorced this week, too. thanks to my wife was reading Twitters, and they were coming out from someplace saying, At Keith Elder is hot. He is hot. And other stuff that I won't repeat. And my wife is going, what's going on? And I didn't even know because I wasn't sitting at the table at the dinner with everybody. And I'm sitting at another table. And this stuff is going on. And everybody's just having fun. They're just laying back.
Well, that's where I'm saying that we're willing to act like adolescents. And we steal each other's phones and tweet from other people's accounts to say ironic things like that. And if you're not on Twitter, it doesn't make any sense. But your point is so valid that these are not social network friends. These are my real friends.
Well, I kind of wonder about that. This is Rob. Because I know there's a bunch of guys from Edmonton that I follow, and there's a lot of they've known each other forever, and it's very adolescent many, many times. But the thing is that, you know, I know them personally, and I know where that's coming from, but I'm sure half the people or more that are following them on Twitter don't. And you know, when we joke like that in person, it's a small group that maybe, you know, people walking by might hear a little piece of. But when you have that full conversation of sometimes very distasteful things, it's like there's people who don't know you that are wondering, what the heck is this guy doing or talking about? And I wonder how they perceive that.
Well, I understand that one of the attractions of Twitter is, you know, you've got some extra time on your hands. You go ahead and you tweet what you're doing at the time, you read your timeline, find out what's going on, but you really do get to learn and know the people that you're following. And, you know, it's happened to me quite a bit where I've gone to a conference and I don't know the people's names because they'll use a different tweet handle. As soon as I find out, oh my gosh, you know, that's who you are, it's like I go out and reach out and I hug them because I know them. It's just trying to decipher, you know, exactly who they are, but that it's really uncanny the way that you can come together as a group and really get to know people. It's just excellent in that sense.
Yeah, and Twitter is also your Twitter network, your tweeps, if you will, are just like your extended group. You know, at times your extended group of friends, your extended family sometimes, your extended coworkers. It's your own personal group of however many consultants that you have. I've had numerous times where I've run into something at work and, you know, didn't really know what the best approach was. And, you know, rather than go to some forum full of random people that I have no idea what they are or who they are or what they know, I put it on Twitter and I just call out to my tribe, as Alan calls it, and I say, hey, you know, who can help me out with this or give me some ideas? And every time I always get quality information back because these are the people I know and trust.
Yeah, this is Glenn. I think what's interesting to me about Twitter is it seems a hybrid of the ways in which people connect, because before the internet, before computers, you were limited to connecting with people that were in your geography. You leaned over the fence to the neighbor, you went down to the pub and chatted with somebody. And then when they started to have all these chat rooms and things like that, you would reach out and sort of ignore the people that were nearby. And Twitter's a great hybrid because you're going to start Twittering with the people that are near you, and then through them you're going to make connections with people that they met through conferences, and you'll read about their exchanges and say, well, that looks like somebody interesting to follow. And then once that connection's established, again, you know, sort of the hybrid connections between IRL, or what they say, in real life, and the people you meet online.
Twitter has really changed the way that we've done a lot of things, right? I mean, you're talking about finding a laptop. You're talking about bringing somebody a cell phone. Alan and I were in Huntsville, Alabama at a code camp, okay? And we're sitting there with developer evangelist Doug Tenure at a restaurant. Doug's like, where is everybody? Where's all the speakers that are, you know, we're supposed to go out and, you know, have a little dinner or have a little fun there? And I said, I don't know. I think everybody's just kind of coming in late. I said, well, I'll Twitter it for you, Doug. And Doug was like, yeah, Twitter, whatever. And so I Twittered, hey, we're sitting over here at the restaurant across the street from the hotel. If anybody's up, give me a call. And literally, it was about 48 seconds later, Alan calls me. And was like, dude, where are you guys at? I said, well, we're over here at the restaurant across the street. And he's like, well, Michael Neal's with me. We've been trying to find you guys all night. Didn't know where you guys were. We didn't have your, you know, phone numbers. And we literally, like, within probably 4 minutes, they walked in the door across the road.
And stayed until the restaurant shut down. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things because I've come up with this idea that these are my real friends and my kind of extended tribe that I didn't know existed out there in the wild, recently I had an opportunity to test my theories. I was at a developer event in Cleveland, and one of the presenters' laptops was stolen out of his car. His whole laptop bag was stolen. And, you know, we were all kind of bummed about that. And I thought, why can't we as a community resolve this issue? And I contacted Dave Redding, and the guy whose laptop was stolen, and I said, "What's your PayPal account address?" And he told me, and I sent $50 to that address, and then I posted on Twitter, "Hey, I just sent $50 here. If anybody else wants to help out Dave get a new laptop, send it." And within 2 days, Dave had $650 in his account.
That's a great Twitter story, and I want to tell my great Twitter story about meeting up with people. It was in April, and we were in Seattle for it was MVP Summit and then the Alt.net. And a bunch of people, some of whom I knew, some of whom I didn't, were just kind of hanging out in a hotel. And, you know, when you don't know people, you start to form little groups of who you're talking to and who you're not talking to. And a few of us decided to go across the street and get some coffee. And it was me and Scott Allen and Scott Belware and another guy who I had no idea who he was. And while we were over there was this little musical area where you could make public music. And so we just started screwing around on that. And I tweeted, "Making beautiful music with Scott Belware and Scott Allen." And I see about 30 seconds later, a tweet come through from Stephen Harmon, who I had been talking to on Twitter for months, say, "Dude, that's you? I'm standing right next to you." And that's how I met Stephen Harmon in real life.
I guess I'll talk a little bit about the addicted nature of Twitter. This is Carrie. I just, you know, the way that I end up following more people and more interesting people is when you have people that you follow, you have your list, you have your timeline, but you see that they're having conversations with, you know, other groups of people on a separate, I don't know, dimension, I guess you could say, of Twitter. And you would have to go and look through these other people's timelines to get the other half of the conversation, right? So this is how, you know, I find more interesting people and how I go and try to seek out exactly who they are at these conferences. If I see that they're there, you know, I got to hunt them down and shake their hand. It's an excellent phenomena for meeting people.
This is Joe. I have to say, like, as I mentioned earlier, I've only been on this for a couple of weeks, maybe as much as a month, and a lot of the tweets that I really enjoy are the ones where, you know, they're really talking about what's going on in their life. You know, when I feel like it really is adding a personal dimension to that person that I may know them professionally, I may know them in various capacities, but when I get to hear about what's going on with their kids or what's going on with their other things that they're involved in, and it just, you know, it enriches the experience. You know, I feel like I know them much more as a fuller person that way. And so those are the tweets that, you know, I personally really enjoy.
But those are the ones that people make fun of. This is Alan. The you know, it's ironic that people say, "What do I care what somebody had for lunch?" Well, somebody posted on my blog. I did a blog post about my finding my tribe on Twitter, and it's actually Gale Force on Twitter, and she said that as a consultant, when she works in an office, she has these little almost meaningless interactions with people every day, but eventually they develop a friendship. But when she goes to another contract, email doesn't keep that. They start to lose touch. But with Twitter, we have this constant, just the trivia of daily life keeps us all connected. So when we see each other, we don't have to catch up, even if we've never met before.
I agree. I mean, it keeps us as people and not as, you know, office mates or these stick figures that you see move through life. I mean, they're real people, and that's really a power of it.
Yeah, this is Glenn. That's making me think of the different styles that people use for the tweets that they enter. Some people are very much, here's what I am, what I'm doing right now. Here is what I just ate. Here's a movie I saw or whatever. Some people, it's almost like a mini blog post, and they're putting some random thought out there, which is interesting, but maybe not necessarily Twitter-worthy, I guess, if they do it all the time. I tried experimenting with putting the tweets from Woot and just getting those announcements of all the different sales that they have and things like that. I had to take it off because it wasn't consistent in the experience. So, and this actually is almost an embarrassing topic to bring up, but has anybody ever followed anybody and then removed them from their list for whatever reason? And what were the reasons?
Well, so I think one of the great things about Twitter is that the experience is exactly what you want to get out of it. If you don't want to hear about people's personal tidbits, you don't follow people that say those things. If you don't want to hear a bunch of noise from Scott C. Reynolds when you barely know him, then you unfollow him, like Jason Follis told me last night that he did at one point. And it's great like that because, like, my personal usage pattern changes day to day and week to week. So I'll go days without tweeting anything because there's I got nothing. And then, you know, someone will say something random and it'll start a big conversation. And yes, often it is with Scott Bellware about Lean, but it could be with anybody. Apparently Lean is pretty funny. So the conversations that you have are totally organic. You're kind of saying things out there into your community or even into the void of people that you don't know that are following you, and you're going to see what sticks and what starts a conversation and what doesn't. And I disagree entirely with the notion that anything is tweet-worthy or Twitter-worthy. You know, it's for you. You're the consumer of the information. If you don't feel that it's Twitter worthy, then you dump that person from your list or you just turn it off. It's no big deal.
Yeah, getting back to Glenn's point a minute ago about, you know, it's like what you tweet and what you don't tweet. And I think maybe Joe, you said the same thing. It's like people always ask me. It's like, you know, who cares that you had whatever? Or I think Alan said the same. What you had for lunch? But the thing is that in personal conversations, when you haven't seen somebody for a while, what's the first thing you ask them? How you doing? What have you been up to? And that's exactly the same stuff you would talk about with them in person, right? So obviously there's an interest there. So why not do exactly the same thing online? Now, I think, actually, Keith, you said you when people add you as a follower, that you go and look at them and see whether are they a person they had a blog.
I do, yeah.
And it's funny that if someone subscribes to your blog, I'm sure you don't even know.
No idea.
Because I guess it's just a much more personal. It's what you're tweeting is much more personal, much more about you as a person, as opposed to some, you know, a blog post or whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get an RSS feed count, how many people are reading your blog, but you don't know who. And like last night, I was sitting somewhere, and somebody walks up and goes, "Hey, I read your blog." Didn't even know who they were, right? And I'm like, "Cool." They knew me because I have a picture of me on my blog and me on the Twitter, right? So I tell people all the time, put your face on your blog so people know who you are when you walk around and they all see you, right? You're a brand on your blog, and you should do that. Carrie's over there nodding her head, "Oh, I don't do that." But how are people going to know who you are? I mean, I tell people that all the time. You just said something earlier, and I can't remember what I was going to say back to it, so I'll probably cut this out. You know, it was going to be awesome.
Well, so I think in a way, you know, video killed the radio star. Twitter has kind of killed blogging in a small sense. I've talked to a lot of people who are saying they're not blogging nearly as much now and not reading nearly as much blogs as they were before Twitter. And I think a big part of that is the personal community aspect. You know, you have no idea who subscribes to your blogs, and sometimes you get comment feeds on your blogs and sometimes they go somewhere. But a lot of times commenters are hit and run. They'll drop a note on whatever you said and they won't know if you said anything back. And a lot of bloggers won't respond to comments. Twitter, you can have these conversations. You know, sure, blogs are still great for these long-form posts about, you know, whatever it is you tend to blog about. But Twitter is a much more appropriate medium for the conversations.
Yeah, and this is Glenn again as the sole Microsoft person here. There's definitely a separation between what I feel I'm allowed to blog about and what I can tweet about. And I actually had sort of a flash this morning because a few weeks ago, I subscribed to the Twitter feed of my own tweets on the left side of my blog. And based on some of the fun stuff we did last night, I thought this morning, what if somebody goes to my MSDN blog and reads the left column? So the first thing I did when I got up was start tweeting some random small things. It was sort of push the questionable stuff out of the queue.
All and things when you are out with other tweeters are tweet-worthy.
There you go.
Well, we were talking earlier about unfollowing people and how we choose who to follow. Initially, I got on Twitter, and I believe it was Dustin Campbell's blog that convinced me to get on Twitter. And Keith is the first person that mentioned Twitter to me, and he convinced Dustin to get on Twitter. So I thought, if these two smart guys are on there, there may be some value there, but I'll wait and see. And I got on there, and I started interacting with the people I already knew. I'd met at conferences, etc. And Twitter was like another iteration of LinkedIn or Plaxo. It was a way for me to keep up with people that I already knew.
You actually called it was like sitting in the speaker's lounge.
Exactly. Yeah. It was smart people making dumb jokes is I think how I put that. But what I found, what it evolved into for me was there's a way to reply to people on Twitter by putting the at sign in front of their name, and it becomes a link to them. And so I found the setting on Twitter to show all at replies. The default is it only shows replies to other people you follow. But if Keith replied to somebody I didn't follow, I wouldn't see it until I changed that setting. And as soon as I did that, it opened up a new dimension to Twitter for me, because I found I was missing half of the conversation in so many ways. And so I started just rapidly adding people and getting involved in conversations with people that I never knew. I mean, and I didn't even care to know. I didn't know they exist to know out there. But now those people are my friends, not my social network friends. They're my real friends, because we've really gotten to know each other on Twitter. On unfollowing people, I was talking to Chris Williams today here at the TechEd conference, and he said he apologized for unfollowing me early on because he mistook me for someone else and didn't think he knew me. And he said, and then I saw you and realized I know you, and I felt like a total douche. But, you know, that kind of thing happens. But it's okay to unfollow somebody if you don't find them interesting. And the way I choose to follow someone is I look, do they have a picture? Do they have a bio? Do they tell me where they are? And do they have some kind of web link to a blog or something?
Let's wrap this up with some Twitter tips and tricks. That was a good tip, actually, that you just gave on the changing the setting. Who else has got, like, maybe there's some other services that use Twitter that you like to use or anything. So just round robin this.
Oh, I was going to, well, first off, I was going to say that if I could actually log into Twitter right now, I would have gone and changed that setting, but it's it's over capacity. But Twirl, a great little utility to show in sort of a messenger kind of format people who are, or you know, people who you follow and that kind of stuff, and get those messages popping up. I use that all the time.
Even if Twitter is down, a lot of times the SMS service is up. So even if you don't get incoming tweets via SMS, remember that you can still send outgoing tweets often via SMS, and it's a great way to have things get on Twitter for when the web interface is back up.
Yeah, I like, this is Glenn, I like the multiple platforms of it. Sometimes I'm sitting on my desktop, I can read the tweets from folks, and sometimes on a mobile device. And the great thing is, unlike, you know, a blog reader, which won't necessarily mark from one device to another what you've read and what you haven't read, here it's just sort of a continuous stream, and it just moves real seamlessly between the platforms.
Twitter is really software and services. It's really coming together where there's really restful services that are in the background. And you have a web interface to it. You can also have a mobile interface. Most of us carry smartphones, and we use a product called Tiny Twitter. And it's just got updated recently, and it's getting better. Me and John Galloway, Alan Lee actually started the project from Vertigo, Scott Kuhn. We work on a project called Witty Twitter, which is a WPF, click once deployed, application for the desktop. So literally, I was over at the WinForm click once booth earlier, and I was doing a demo on click once, and I click once deployed Witty, and then I had the web interface, and I picked my phone up, and I went, look, software plus services. And I had three different interfaces. You know, if you're not using those clients, you have multiple ways to get to your data. I'll give you that as my tip.
If you're cool enough to have something other than a drone phone, a.k.a. a smartphone, you can use Halo for the iPhone. It's a great client. HAHLO.com.
This is at Carrie Payette talking to at Twitter Tribe. What I hash, that's right, sorry. Of course, this is the topic I'm supposed to be talking about, right? Okay, the hashtags. When you're at a conference or at a location, you can go ahead and use the pound sign and tell the location, like we're at hash, like the pound sign TechEd or pound sign TechEd 08. And what you can do is go to hashtags and pull down, you know, people that are also at the conference that you may or may not already be following, and get more of a full rounded view into the conference.
That address is hashtags.org, by the way. Well, guys, it's been a good conversation about Twitter. Anybody have any closing remarks?
Yes, this is Alan. I want to be very clear that Twitter is wide open. And while we've talked about who we follow and who we don't follow, it's a very open community. And there's no exclusivity. Even though I might use a term like my Twitter tribe, the way you join my Twitter tribe is to get on Twitter and at reply me, because I'll see any at reply you send me. And if you start interacting with me, I'll follow you. Because we are friends. We know each other and we have things to say to one another. So there's no exclusivity here. It's wide open and it's prime for expansion.
This is Scott, and I just think that Twitter is one of those things that anyone who's sitting here talking about it will tell you. You have to try it out to really get what it is and get what it's about, and then the experience is yours to mold.
Yeah, this is Glenn. I agree. You can't just read it passively. You've got to participate and join, make friends with the folks that you meet online and connect with them in real life, and again maintain that hybrid.
This is a call out to everybody. Go get a decent phone, a great data plan, and get on Twitter.
This is Joe. I just want to say that I think that if you do Twitter right, it's really, I see it as a never ending conversation with my best friends. And if you take that approach to it, sometimes they'll say things you're really interested in, sometimes not. But just to be in that constant communication and that constant conversation, I know that many of the events I went to here at Tech Ed were because somebody Twittered what was going on, and I knew about it for that reason. I would have missed a lot of, my experience in Tech Ed was much richer because of the tweets that I saw about who was doing what when, that I could join in, greatly enhanced my experience.
This is Rob. I think, starting with Facebook and now with Twitter, it's a way. And as IT professionals, we're also busy all the time, and people are always, you follow touch. It's so easy to follow touch with people, but when you have tools like this, it's just easy to keep your social network active and keep up with people who you don't necessarily see all the time, but you really you want to keep up with. And I think it's a great tool for that.
Well, Tech Ed is just about over. I know I'm about to go jump on a plane, so I getting other nods here as well that everybody else is going to be doing the same thing. So, okay, Deep Fried Bites. We're out of Tech Ed. Thanks. Well, that was recorded live at Tech Ed. We hope everybody enjoyed those Twitter war stories. Personally, my favorite was Scott's. Scott, where he met Steve Harmon. He's standing right next to him and sends out a Twitter, and then Steve's like, dude, I'm standing right here. I love that. That's a great story. Scott, props to you for your Twitter story. Well, I guess we should wrap this up, Woody. We appreciate everybody listening today. We also thank our sponsor, Redgate, for sponsoring today's show. We hope our listeners will go out and check out some of their products. We really do appreciate them.
We do.
Folks, don't forget, you can contact us, questions@deepfriedbites.com. And also, if you have comments, you can email us at comments@deepfriedbites.com.
Hey, and you can also find us out on Twitter at twitter.com/deepfriedbites. And you can also find us out on Facebook if you search for Deep Fried Bites. So come out, join the conversation, and let's have some fun.
All right, buddy. I enjoyed it. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
I did, too. Thank you, guys.
Deep Fried Bites is out.